Discussions with Ajahn Suchin at Tepterin Hospital in Bangkok, July 2019. Recorded by the Foundation, edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Akhil, Roti, Sundra, Suchin, Robert, Roxanne, Betty, and Eve.
So he put the lighting on the two lines,
and the other he listened as Sotapanna. So he's the best who understands the teachings.
So after the first two lines, he becomes a Sotapanna. And the last two lines, he's already listening as a Sotapanna.
Yeah. And for Mokalana, all four.
He becomes Sotapanna after the four lines.
For Mokalana. So that's why he is Etataka on
Mahamula.
Understanding Panya Akrasavo. But for the others, no matter how many times they listen, not Sotapanna yet. This is the difference between people in the Buddha's time and people today. Very deep. So it depends on condition. Never know before at all what would happen, depending on conditions. So now, if this is condition for higher understanding, naturally, unknowingly, unexpectedly. If we expect, what is that? That moment of expecting, what is there? Attachment, clinging to the idea of self. Talking about the four asava, you have heard about asava?
Asava pade to hai, no?
Because there are many degrees of everything. So when it's unknown, like at the time when one's falling asleep, nothing appears at all. It performs the function of pabwanga. Nothing arises as things or whatever, because at moment of pavanga it is the same kind of moment of patisanti and chitti.
Pavanga is the
life continuum.
Life continuum.
Like when you're sleeping, there's only pavanga chitta.
But pavanga cannot perform its function all the time, so it's time for seeing by kamma. Time of hearing from the past karma, and after seeing, only 3 moments after seeing, asava is there. No one knows, even right now.
Asava means it's a way to explain defilement, right?
There are 4 asava. Attachment for that which experiences is kamasava, and attachment to being is bhavasava.
Bhavasava.
And avicca and wrong view, 4 of them. Unknowingly, it's gone all the time. There are conditions for that akusa to arise after seeing.
Asava is happening in every moment of consciousness.
After seeing, 3 moments after seeing.
Or 3 moments after seeing.
Sampatichanna, Santirana, and Votapana. Then they are there unknowingly. We know akusa only when it appears stronger than that. See, there are different levels, different degree of akusala, the unknown and that which is known and that which is stronger. And the wrong understanding must be eradicated. There is no more dittasava, completely for Sotapanna. Completely no dittasava after seeing, see. And for Arahata, all of them eradicated. So no one can do anything, just learn to understand. And understanding develops from hearing and considering. Like now. No one can do anything, just develop understanding from hearing and considering until it's right time to directly experience, like now, uncountable life or uncountable, depending on that person. Who knows before? Understanding is there enough, firmly condition the moment of directly being aware of a reality right now. So what is that right now? If there's no understanding at all, that is no condition for directly understanding at the moment when it appears. By having such understanding, one begins to see the Buddha. From his word, carried on and on until now. If the person have condition to listen and think about it carefully, without understanding carefully, one cannot understand the great wisdom of the Buddha at all. So they say about Buddha as very simple. Even right now, seeing arises and falls away, follow the words, but that can be directly experienced when panya develops. Can it be directly experienced?
Directly understood?
For example,
means with wisdom, right? Or
certainly.
Right.
Because now, at this moment of seeing or hearing, of touching or thinking, each moment arises and falls away unknowingly all the time, because they are all different things like eye and table and chair. But what is the exact reality when there is touching? You think you touch something, but actually it's only hardness which is touched, because it arises and falls away. Whatever appears has to arise, but it falls away in split seconds. So who knows the arising and falling away? There must be firm, right understanding of this, which can be conditioned for the direct understanding. For example now, who knows the arising of seeing and falling away, and the next moment fall immediately, see? But this is the great wisdom of the Buddha. So we learn to understand the words of the Buddha, just one word at a time. What is the three gems? Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. It's not just Buddha and pay respect. Without understanding of the words of the Buddha, one pays respect to the rupa.
The statue, right?
Yeah, and then ask for something after paying respect. It's impossible. They don't understand whatever appears. But the more there is understanding, there can be respect to Buddha at any time of understanding the teachings.
In the jhana, you have that, you reminded me of that saying too, he who sees the Dhamma, he sees me.
Not the picture of the Dhamma.
No. He who sees the Dhamma. So Dhammam Pasati, so Mam Pasati.
So now one begins to see the Buddha, but not clearly yet. But the Sotapanna sees him perfectly.
And one thing that Ajahn pointed out to me that I find helpful is that the reality that appears is dependent. Like, we have this conceptual world that we live in, but that world that we think we live in is utterly dependent upon the ultimate realities, what we call the paramattha dhammas, because the jhana is talking about paramattha dhammas. But we live in the world of what we call samuti, or samuti satcha, you know, conventional truth.
I think he's still not very familiar with these terms. We have to explain him. Conventional, the samuti satcha means flowers, table, Mr. M, books. That's conventional reality. Tukdong my cup. That's correct. And ultimate reality. What is ultimate reality? That's conventional reality, flowers. And then what is ultimate reality?
Well, Ajahn will be best to say, but what I was saying is that what Ajahn is talking about is paramattha dhammas, ultimately. But we have to use...
But he doesn't know the word paramattha dhamma.
Paramita, I know, man.
Yes, I thought you might know.
Paramita, I know.
Yeah.
Realities.
The truth of the... The reality that appears, that's the paramattha dhammas, the namas and the rupas. that are always appearing, but they go by with ignorance mostly. And Ajahn pointed out to me once that they are here all the time. Those real dhammas, those dhammas are always here. But we have constructed this world about them, which is not real, like people and things. They're the realities. They're the conventional truths.
For example, Ajahn says, conventional truth, this is table. But ultimate truth, there is only touching or seeing, but there's no table. You can only touch, or you can only see, or you can only hear, but there's not anything that you call table. It can only be touching or seeing. That's unconventional. That's ultimate truth.
And I remember once Ajahn asked a trick question. She said, "Can you touch the table? Can you touch a table? Can you touch a table?" But of course we can't. That's just thinking by way of experience. It's just hardness or temperature or different degrees of pressure. That is all. There is no table, is just the idea.
One can only experience hardness or temperature, but cannot experience table through the touch sense.
So actually, what is real? At moment of seeing, what is real? Now, see, it can be proved. Because all day, in all lives, only realities arising and falling away.
Ajahn just said that she asked that question, you know, what is real now? Mm. Because mostly we go away with stories all the time. We have stories in our mind. So Ajahn is reminding us that there are realities now. So at the moment, what is real now? There may be visual object real, is seeing real, is thinking. They're the realities. So when Ajahn talks about what is real now, the visual object is real, the thinking is real, the hearing is real, they're real, not the people.
Seeing is real, but flowers are not real.
Seeing is real. Seeing the flowers?
No, it's a story.
Not the same moment. Not the same moment.
First is the seeing, and then there is the memory, you think, and you remember flowers.
You put it.
You memorize, you remember all the signs.
That's thinking though. So there's a lot, that's real. See, when we think of a concept, we think about a concept, which is flowers are a concept, or an idea. They're not real. All concepts are not real. But thinking is real. But the objects of thinking, like flowers, they're not real. It's not an easy idea to...
ma'am, conventional and unconventional.
Yes, well...
So more to be focused on the unconventional rather than to focus on the conventional things.
That's why we have to understand each word. Each word that you said, what is it? What is it? What is it? Mm. Without thinking and remembering the sanya, can there be anything now? No memory. See, that's why memory or sanya cetasika arises with each moment of citta. Arise together, experience the same object, fall away together, but different function of each. Citta is that which is the chief of experiencing. It just sees only that. It performs the function of seeing. It cannot think about that which it's seen. Just arise to see, that's all. There is memory, sanya cetasika, arising with it. And there is also chetana arising with it. But the important one, that it's the first cetasika, is patsa, touching, experience.
Spasha.
Touching, like touching. But not.
Spasha.
Because They are the object of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It has its own characteristic. Even rupa, the sound, is not like that which is seen. So now they arise and fall away very quickly, very rapidly. So it's very difficult to think that actually, to understand that seeing is that which sees, and that which is seen, no idea about it at moment of seeing. Just see and falls away.
Yes, I didn't understand that part. Seeing that Ajahn said right now.
Seeing just sees. It doesn't know what it's seeing as things and people.
Oh, yes.
Just see. Yes. Like citta, just experience. The chief of experiencing. No one can perform the function of citta. No one can perform the function of sanya. Nobody can perform the function of jitana. It performs its function at moment when it arises, that's all. No one.
When no one, no self, right? No person, mm-hmm. No.
So Ajahn is just saying that each chetasika, like pasa, just performs its own function. We continually think that it's a person who sees or thinks or touches or whatever. But there are different dhammas that experience different dhammas, you can say, or different realities. Pasa makes contact with the visual object or thinking, but that's its function. It performs a function of touching the object. I'm admiring your patience, because it's a whole new world to deal with these different concepts, and I haven't found it easy over the years, but Ajahn has always been helpful in helping me to understand these different concepts, so that the truth can be clearly understood, because unless there is a good intellectual framework, then the Dhamma will elude you. It will elude understanding. We'll think we were, Ajahn may have talked about, there's a lot of idea about people practicing or sitting a certain way or going to a certain place, which is not about the development of understanding. Many people are caught by that. They are held by this belief that you have to go to a quiet place. But the Buddha didn't speak about that. He spoke about understanding the truth of this present moment, which we continually misunderstand because of accumulated ignorance.
Shariputta didn't have to go to a quiet place, right?
You could say his mind was very quiet because he understood. There is
maybe Shariputta had viveka arose at citta viveka, right?
What do you mean?
Citta viveka. Mimai, tonan mimai.
At moment of kusala.
At the moment of hearing the words of Asachi.
When there is understanding. Each word should be studied, the whole Tipitaka, to understand that it conforms with the other meaning too. Because for the word viveka, citta viveka, see, and kaya viveka, it's different.
Yes.
But it means bhag panya. It has to be panya. Otherwise it cannot completely viveka or viveka.
Viveka means what's the English word?
Quietude or
solitude.
Something like that, yeah.
Or renounce.
sort of. Yes, certainly.
It means to be by yourself, no?
Because you see that when you are alone on the beach, hearing the sweet voice of the birds, it's not Viveka. But the Kaya, just only one.
Okay. What was that, Ajahn? Did you see?
Kaya Viveka and Chitta Viveka are
different. Chitta and Chetasika.
No, Kaya is the body, the pleasure. When you are alone, it is Viveka. People like to be alone.
I see.
Thought that that is Viveka, but actually it needs understanding to be Viveka, even people around.
There are three Vivekas, right? Chitta Viveka, Kaya Viveka, and what's the third one?
No more. You'd like to know better? And what about the first two?
Okay.
The chief one. Okay. Viveka and think about many, many things? No, that is not Viveka, because one clings and one thinks about many things. Even one is alone. So to be alone is not Viveka. But it needs Panya to know what Viveka from what? From being with people around, it's not Viveka. But when Panya is there, no matter people are around, Panya can understand reality, and that is Chitta Viveka. We are now what kind of Viveka? Or no Viveka?
Maybe no Viveka. Well, Viveka at moments, right?
When there is understanding, it knows that actually there's no one at all. No matter one is around with the others.
Right.
So, it's not just being alone at the meditation center, knowing nothing at all. And do a lot, walking, standing, with attachment, just want to have result from doing that. But what is the result of sitting without understanding? It's useless. And don't underestimate the panya. When it's ripe time, it can arise by conditions. That's why no expectation, that Sariputta, no expectation that he would be Sotapanna. After hearing just half of the words that associate said, is it true? There can be enlightenment right now when time comes, when it's ready by condition. So now condition is not ready to become enlightened. All of the teachings of the Buddha must be right understanding, the truth of each word. Like the Four Noble Truths, the Ariya Satcha, Dukkha, who can change the nature of reality, which is conditioned to arise and fall away unknowingly. No one, no self, only now different realities arising and falling away unknowingly until we talk about it. Like seeing, if you don't talk about seeing, no understanding of what Buddha became enlightened.
Unknowingly means unexpectedly, right? They just arise.
By itself.
No one is controlling.
Never.
No one can control what you're going to see right now, right?
Ma'am, 5 minutes before, we were talking about the conventional and unconventional, ma'am.
Conventional truth and ultimate
truth.
I think just before you go on, to say unconventional may not be so helpful. We just call it ultimate truth and conventional truth. First, so because it's conventional because we all agree, it's called samuti satcha, because we all agree that that's a flower. In English, in Thai they have other word.
Or even no words, what is seen is seen.
What is seen is seen, okay, yes. All right, still less.
What is seen is seen. That is for the conventional.
Conventional word is the idea of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't, it doesn't have to be named Ajahn.
Yeah.
You don't have to name him, right?
But it's there.
Yes.
In your mind.
Yes. Okay.
What is that? By Sanya.
Yeah. That's good. That's the idea that we have, that we, when we grow up as children, our parents, they teach us these different ideas and different words. But that idea has as its basis the ultimate truth. Those ideas would not exist unless there were ultimate truths. So the ultimate truth is the foundation for these ideas we have about the world, whether they're spoken or not spoken.
That has to be the ultimate truths.
They have to be there. That's the basis for all our ideas about the world, those ultimate truths, the ultimate truths, the visual object, the thinking, the condition, or the conditions, or the degrees of temperature, or hardness, or pressure, that appears by way of body sense, they give us the idea of table. If that hardness didn't exist, there wouldn't be any table. There wouldn't be a world. The world would not exist. And the Buddha spoke about that in that sutta, you know. What is the world? The world is the seeing, hearing, thinking, hardness, softness, those, what they call the wisya dhammas, you know, the seven rupas. You've heard of wisya, it's probably a wisya.
He's talking about visaya rupa.
We go in the Hindi, we say Visaya.
Yes, I thought Visaya. So, yeah, Visaya.
We go in the Pali, we say Visaya.
And so in Hindi it's Visaya.
Visaya.
And it's the same in Pali, Visaya.
You say Visaya, no?
Well, I pronounce it a little different. I say
Visaya.
Visaya,
yes.
Well, I believe the correct pronunciation is isnotized with. No, a lot of people, in the when they see the Pali and the Roman characters or in the English, they say V. It's not so.
It's
V, like the Thai people say or the Indian people say. That's where Pali was spoken, or in Magadha or in Pali. Kosala. Yes. It would be Visaya. So it's a W sound. And we just presume it was just written with a V, but it's pronounced correctly. Visaya rupa. So that's the reality of the world, which is experienced by way of the senses, whether it be eye door or the tongue door, or by way of the body sense. They're all there.
When we're told that seeing is just seeing.
Yes.
Seeing. That is over.
Yes.
Seeing is just seeing.
But that may be just, it's important to understand what Ajahn is saying, is that it's easy to say seeing is just seeing, but what does seeing experience? What does seeing experience?
Now the concept, again the unconventional and conventional.
Well, yes. What's,
again
what's the ultimate truth? What's the ultimate truth? What does seeing see?
Is that real or unreal?
We're talking now about Paramatta Dhamma, which is the Paramatta Dhamma, which is the highest truth, which is Rupa Ramana, and probably the same in Hindi, I suspect.
Exactly.
Rupa Ramana, which is the visual, or the visual object, we say, or the Rupa Ramana.
Rupa Nama.
Rupa Ramana. Ramana is object. Aramana.
Yes.
So I suspect you have the same word in Hindi.
We say Rupa, Nama, Sangya, Sangya.
Sangya.
Ma'am says Sangya. Sangya,
The memory.
Memory. We say Sangya.
So now you know the difference between the absolute truth and conventional truth.
Yes.
And from the moment that one opens one's eye, it's not Bhavanga all day. But Bhavanga is there between the moment of seeing and hearing and the other citta. So very quickly. So we learn to understand the difference between the conventional term, conventional and absolute reality.
Yes, ma'am.
So we just live in the world of what?
Mostly.
Sanya. All day.
Memory.
Memory, all day. Yes. As soon as one opens one's eyes, memory is there for that which is seen. To think about it of shape and form and no conventional word, term for that thing. When one is dreaming, what is there as object?
It's a previous life memories.
The thinking is the absolute truth. And the story while one is sleeping is conventional. Just thinking about that which had experienced, and there can be dreaming about it. We don't know today,
yes,
tonight.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What is the object of dreaming? Because it doesn't arise yet. So no one can know what would be the next moment.
Yes, ma'am.
By conditions only. Without the words of the Buddha, one does not know that one lives in the world of convention all the time. And wrong understanding about the reality, because one takes it for real and last at moment of whatever had happened, one can think about it. Because one does not think about that which is not experienced.
Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am.
So no one there.
One can't think
whatever
if
happened.
He doesn't have got experience.
Yeah,
yes.
In one's life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one. And no expectation at all. What would happen? What would you dream about tonight? Unknown yet. Until it arises. So they can be thinking about many, many things, but it depends on what the conditions for everything which arises. What is there at moment of birth again?
And what is?
What is there at moment of birth again? Without citta, cetasika and rupa, there is no birth. No one there. No one, nothing arises.
Chitta, Chetasika and Rupa.
Not you.
Chitta means consciousness. Chetasika means the mental factors that arise with consciousness. And Rupa means material phenomena. And Ajahn says that when there, if these three things are not there, then there is nothing. Because that these are the only ultimate realities.
At moment of birth, no one was born.
Three things was born, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly.
Three things was born.
Yeah, all day, all night in one's life, unknown. This is ignorance, not panya. So not everyone can hear the teachings. It depends on conditions.
Yes, ma'am.
And after hearing, it depends on conditions accumulated before to understand it or not understand or just very little. Because actually the citta and cetasika succeed from time to time. No one there. Because, and then what is born and what dies, see, only realities and the conditions to be born again after death. Nothing else can be born, only citta, cetasika, like this birth in this life, by conditions, any moment, every moment. This is the beginning to have confidence in the teachings of the Buddha. Anatta, uncontrollable. So this moment is the citta and cetasika arising and falling away so very quickly, cannot be known without panya. So when you go or see or wherever you are, you know, citta cittasika rupa. Rupa is seen. Can citta be seen? It can be understood. And is it citta or cittasika? That which understand. The understanding is what? Citta or cittasika or rupa?
Citta. Cittasika.
Right.
Memory.
Citta is only the chief of experience, that's all. It cannot understand, it cannot do other function. It just arises to see, but the other cittasikas which arise with it performs their function. Sanya cittasika, remember, and marks what is seen as something. Without shape and form, can there be the idea of things?
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. So it's not sanya which remember, and the reality which think about it. It's not by itself, but by sanya and vitaka cittasika, another cittasika, touching, with remembering, and know what is what later.
Contact.
Yes, but actually, I think that touching the object is a function of vitaka. But it touch as the nama.
Oh, you mean vitaka or passa?
It performs different function. Passa arises with each citta, and without passa, one cannot arise. Citta cetasikas cannot arise. So passa is cetasika, arising with each moment. Just condition citta and cetasika to experience what it touches, what it passa. So I think that passa is touching the object.
Touching with the body sense, but touching of making contact.
Right? It's
cetasika. Yeah.
So now, if patsa does not touch on the sound, there is no hearing. So at moment of seeing, patsa touch the object, which is seen. And vitaka is thinking about it. Even we use the term touching, it has different aspect. Passa just touch the object and thinking the vitaka can be used the term touching as well. Because even they perform different function, but there is no word to understand the difference. So we use the term, and there are many terms for each word, many different word, different term for just one characteristic of cetasika. Like sanya cetasika marks the object, shape and form, and then it remembers. And passa cetasika just touch in order or for citta and cetasika to experience that object. No words to explain realities clearly enough, because the understanding can understand without word. Now,
understanding can understand without words.
Yes, because at moment of experience sound, it only experience the characteristic of that sound as it is, and sanya marks. And then another cetasika, vitaka, think about it. But actually, even after seeing consciousness, vitaka arises. And we can say that it think about or it touch, but not as passa. So I think that understanding is the best thing. Not thinking the word, but it just for that reality. We can use different words to understand a reality, just for understanding. Because after seeing, vitaka arises. But not with every citta. Like seeing, there's a need that vitakka. It needs only pasa. But when there is, but when after citta, after seeing has fallen away, there is vitakka with all cittas. When we don't talk in details yet, like the jhana, see, the second jhana doesn't have vitakka. But vitakka arrives after moment of seeing. No thinking. Because we take thinking for thinking of something. So at moment of experiencing object after the seeing, who knows? It's not like thinking of something or about something. But vitakka is not paccha. So paccha and vitakka arise together after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Paccha arises with each, but vitakka arises after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching.
I think Ajahn has made a finer distinction there, because normally in English we translate the word vitakka as thinking, but as Ajahn pointed out, after seeing in the sense door process has fallen away, you have sampaticcana and so on, sampaticcana santirana, and they both have, and vatapana also, and they also have vatapana also has vitakka, Ajahn?
After the 10 cittas.
Yes, after 10. That's of course, yeah. So there will be vitakka arising, but it's not thinking as we normally think that thinking is. It's, yeah, it's not. Do you see what I mean, Kunwati, there? That vitakka is, I think Ajahn said it's like touching, but it's not pasa. They're different. They're different chetasikas, and they perform different functions.
Because we know just very little about the absolute truth, the Paramattha Dhamma. For example, there is thinking, and what thinks? Vitakka. But vitakka, which arises with citta after seeing, is there. That is not like one understands as thinking about. Because for the Eightfold Path, the first is panya, right understanding, and the vitakka. But we use the word samma sankappa. See? But the word samma sankappa is only word, just a different level of vitakka. Because vitakka after seeing is not the vitakka which is the path, which is sankappa. The difference is that what word we can use for vitakka, which arises after seeing consciousness immediately. Only 10 citta, the seeing, 2 kusala vipaka and akusala vipaka, 5 the ways with 2, so there are only 10 citta, which absolutely does not arise with vitakka. And the next one experiences the same object, but it does not see. Absolutely. Because the seeing function is only for that which now arises and see. Only even the other citta which arise after experience the same object, but there is vitakka with there. So we cannot use the word thinking for vitakka which performs the function after seeing. And even that which arises after the sampaticcana, which arises after seeing, has vitakka. So all the citta we can say that arise with all citta, except the 10 vipaka, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And who knows, those citta which arise after seeing, experience the same object, but not see.
Ajahn just said 10 vipaka, right?
10 vipaka, seeing, kusala vipaka, and akusala vipaka.
Yeah, correct.
Seeing to kusala vipaka and akusala vipaka. These 10, absolutely. That's not arise with vitakka.
Do you understand those? The what she's meaning? Vipaka are the is the result of consciousness that manifests through seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting, right? But there can be two kinds, either kusala or akusala, right? Mm. So seeing can be kusala or akusala.
Seeing, kusala vipaka.
No, I mean
kusala vipaka. Kusala vipaka. That's why we cannot use just the word kusala. When it is the result, we have to add the word vipaka. Kusala vipaka, seeing the pleasant things, pleasant object. And akusala, by karma, conditioned citta, which experience unpleasant object as the result of karma. No one can select the object of seeing.
Select, right? Yeah.
No one can do. Because actually there's no one. There are only conditioned realities.
There's no control.
Of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But thinking can be wholesome or unwholesome, which is not the result. That's what the word for the ten jittas, the seeing, for example. In Pali, it is different. Upatti. Upatti.
Thank you for bringing up that word.
Yeah. And the other, which does not perform the function of seeing, hearing, smelling, is nipatti.
Okay, so if you don't, we were talking about this last week, and I would like, Ajahn, are we going to talk after lunch or what's happening? I'm not sure.
It depends. No selection.
Because I was going to ask some questions, but I wanted to let our friend talk also.
But I think that each word can bring about understanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But getting back, if I may ask then, Ajahn, the question there about upatti and nipatti. Upatti then refers to the dvaipanchavijñāna, correct?
Really? Because the other citta cannot perform the function of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. Even it's there, it's unknown.
Still not understanding clearly. I want to understand this clearly.
There are two words in Pali.
Yes.
Upatti and nipatti. And upatti is for the ten only. Because it's conditioned just there, unexpectedly and unknown, that what would be kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest does not perform the function of the ten.
No.
So they are all nipatti.
I see. That is all. That's yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Just to see the difference between seeing, hearing, smelling are the vipaka, which one can know. Like now, there's seeing, there's hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, but the other vipaka is not known.
I didn't understand that.
The other vipaka is not
known. Does not perform the function of seeing. Even it experiences the same object as seeing. So in a day, one would no, just seeing, now hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Yes. So these things are upatti, by karma only.
Mm-hmm. And what things are nipatti?
The rest.
The rest.
Or jitta, which is not the ten. It's nipatti. Do you know the object and the jitta before seeing?
No.
But it's there.
It's there.
So many, many citta cannot be experienced like seeing.
Oh, it's very easy to, yeah. But because last Saturday at the discussion in the foundation, we were talking, trying to explain upatti and nipatti, and I didn't understand anything. And also Kunsukin couldn't understand very clearly. But now it's very clear. Now it's very clear. Right? Isn't it for you, Sundara?
It's clearer.
Yeah.
It's clearer.
Yeah, it's clearer.
And these are the words of the Buddha, just to condition more and more understanding of no self, no one. Only different realities is conditioned to arise, like running away all the time because of its rapidity. So it's unknown as reality, not self.
Jen said running away all the time.
Running along all the time.
Running?
So quick. So very quick.
The processes.
The moment of arising and falling away.
Right.
Just reality is conditioned to be like that. Arising and falling away. Follow one another by different pachaya. And that which arises after the past one all the time is by anantara pachaya. Non-stop. It has to arise after one all the time. One and one and one and one. Different realities all the time. In a day. From in a life. Nothing. Because it's gone so quickly. But it seems like it's there all the time. Without the enlightenment of the Buddha, no one knows. No teaching about the absolute reality. To be far away from the idea of self. The more understanding the self, the idea of self is eliminated little by little. So the teachings, the word of the Buddha is like miracle. From not understanding anything, there will be a little understanding, more and more, until enlightenment, the truth. That is so true, each word. Seeing that's not there, it cannot last. It arises and falls away immediately, not knowing what the object is, only that which is experienced, the absolute truth. The object which is seen now is now. No one can say that there's nothing, but citta experiences an object. So seeing experiences the object and it performs the function of seeing only. The other cittas cannot, even it experiences the same object, but it cannot see. Sampadicchana, which follows, perform the function of receiving, and the other citta performs different. But they cannot see. Only the two citta, kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka, by karma. Because the result of the wholesome citta must be the seeing, which sees pleasant object, hearing pleasant object, as it is the result of good deeds. So one knows that no one can do anything to anyone at all. Each is different. We might think that someone harm us, but actually not that person. Only one's own karma in the past. So we have more metta, kindness, with understanding. Actually, there's no one. Everything is gone. All the time. So very rapidly, quickly. So the truth is covered up by ignorance, which is one cetasika. And this is life.
So then 1 second. The truth is covered by one ignorance.
By ignorance.
Ignorance. So one of the ignorances?
Ignorance is a cetasika. Avicca.
Avicca. Yeah, it's ignorance.
Thank you, sir.
Or moha. Many words.
Moha is used in the Abhidhamma. Probably also in Hindi also.
Moha, karuna, mamta. Kya sa? Karuna, mamta, moha.
Karuna.
Karuna means
compassion.
Moho means affection. Affection.
Oh, so now it's a different word. This is moha means avicca.
Moha is avicca. Many words for just one reality.
Ma'am, avicca is ignorance?
Yes. Not understanding, cannot understand, even right now. So it arises with each akusala citta, unwholesome citta. Must have avicca. When there is attachment to anything which is experienced because of not understanding, reality as it is. And that characteristic which doesn't understand reality as it is avijja. So in a day, unwholesome citta arises more than the other, which is kusala, not understanding, seeing as it is. And it's attached, I see, wrong understanding. So all unwholesome citta must have avijja with it, as it is, like paticca-samuppada. All akusala and life and samsara depends on avijja. As long as it's there, there must be the samsara in life, from life to life. And we can see the all these through the action, through body and speech. We can understand who does not understand. I, avijja, no one, see. So the avijja is the base of akusala. Akusala, each citta, each akusala citta must have avijja. And the panya, only, which can eradicate avijja completely, no more, all akusala. So, arahat is arahata. But one cannot attain arahata at once. It has to be stage by stage. So wrong understanding must be eradicated before other akusala. Because of it, avijja and titti. So avijja is always there. But when there's understanding, the avijja is little by little eliminated. Right now, panya is there instead of avijja. And it's only the beginning of understanding what is the truth and what is the and what is not the absolute truth. Who's there? What's there? See? Who's there is convention. But the absolute, what is there? The nature of that. If it does not arise, it does not appear. It cannot be experienced because it does that. It's not there. Because it does not arise, because it's not conditioned to arise. So for Sotapanna, the wrong understanding of the idea of self is completely eradicated. And one can see how much ignorance is there. Whenever there is no right understanding, and when it is akusala, attachment, for example, each moment of experiencing. So great number, we cannot use any word for the thickness on the avijja. But whenever there is understanding, it's so little comparing to that which is ignorance and wrong understanding of self. That's why it takes how long for the bodhisattva to become sammasambuddha, and how long for savaka to have such understanding, but as not as a Buddha. So we begin to see the gem or the ratana of the Buddha and Dhamma and Sangha. And the Sangha here means the enlightened one, not just ordinary monk. So Sangha can be monk or lay people who attain the Ariyasatya. Must experience the same as Vipassanayana, otherwise the akusala cannot be eradicated. And so Sotapanna still have avijja, because Sotapanna only eradicates the wrong understanding, the michatiti. So he doesn't think he's Sakatami or Anagami or Arahata, because the kisala can arise and then understand whatever appears as its nature as Paramattha Dhamma, absolute truth. So even the akusala must be eradicated just one by one, or many, not just only one. Like Sotapanna completely eradicated the idea of self, the wrong understanding, but still have lobha and dosa until the enlightened, the truth, Ariya Satta, arrives, eradicate the other which is left from being a sotapanna, stage by stage, until becoming arahata. After seeing, usually, one has the idea of self unknowingly. Because do you have wrong view? Do you have the idea of self? That cannot be the answer because one doesn't know what it is. But it's there when there is no understanding and no kusala. So we learn about the absolute realities and use the term like Sariputta and Buddha and everything, because the difference of the reality which is accumulated. Even now, that which arises falls away and never to return. The seeing now is not the seeing a moment ago. Hearing now, the sound and the hearing is not the same. It's not that one which has experienced the object. So each one arises and falls away. That is the meaning of anatta and sunyata. Sunyata means forever, lost. It's not there anymore. As long as it arises, it falls away. Just very, very little, fragile.
Forever lost.
Forever. We do not have to know it only when there is death, but momentary death is each moment now. No more.
So every moment of death is called sunyata?
It is the same meaning as anatta, same meaning. But if we do not study carefully, we think that sunyata is another meaning. But actually it's the same as anatta. Sunyata, never to return. Not so.
Ma'am, shunyata and voidness are same. Void.
Voidness.
Yeah. Same. No more. No condition to arise. That's why the understanding, little by little, will eliminate and finally eradicate the very fine anusaya kilesa, which does not arise, but it's there, and it's condition for the arising of whatever appears now.
Anusaya kilesa is, do you know kilesa? Kilesa means defilement. Kilesha, right? Kilesha.
Defilements, kamya.
Kilesa.
Kilesha.
Yeah, kilesha.
Kilesha. Yes.
What do you understand by kilesha?
Defilements.
Defilements?
The wrongs in us.
That make
wrong thing in us.
There are many levels too. That's why Buddha shows us that the one kilesa, the kind of kilesa, which very subtle, it cannot arise, but it's there. When it's there, it's not the anusya, but it is asava, unknown again. Because after the seeing and after 3 moments, the asava is there. It doesn't show up at all, but it's there. So very fast, just follow teaching. 3 moments and then asava, which there are 4 kinds of asava, unknown. Because it's now, after seeing, the kamasava. You know that? Kamasava.
Asava is a form, a kind of kilesa, right? Because they still don't find the word asava.
Oh.
Asava we are not getting, ma'am.
Asava.
asava, which means that which is leaking or dripping or coming out all the time. I think Ajahn once gave the example, no matter how many times you go to the bathroom to wash your hands, there's always stuff coming out. It's that which is leaking. It's always there. It's always...
कितने बार भी साबुन से हाथ धुल लो, लेकिन वो हाथ से मैल निकलते ही रहेगा, चाहे बाथरूम में कितनी बार भी जाओ. उस शब्द को ये लोग अश्वा बोल रहे हैं. अश्वा
literally means to flow, from the Pali word to flow, ash.
Or ooze, can
to
say.
Ooze, yeah, yeah, to ooze, or to flow out. It's like dripping, weeping, all the time.
Like the tree.
Yes, like the tree, like the sap of the tree. Sometimes when it's cut, it's leaking. It's leaking all the time.
That is
ashwa.
Ashwa. We're talking about the literal meaning of asawa, but then what else? It's a kind of kilesa, so we should.
Yes. Yeah. It's that which is leaking out.
Kalesh.
Yeah.
Kalesh.
It's not obvious. It's very subtle. Karma is very common. It's all the time. Karma.
Kilesa can be attachment.
Oh, yeah.
It can be aversion. It's also
kilesa. So, kilesa, avasha, nay.
Ashwa.
Ashwa. One form, kilesa.
He's asking if asawa is one form of kilesa.
Because they are altogether 14 akusala cetasika, but different level.
There are 14 kinds of kilesa, but different levels of kilesa. Different levels means some are deeper.
Well,
some are.
Well, each one can be very strong. Like lobha can be very strong.
But explain him what lobha is.
Lobha. Lobha, yes. Means attachment.
Lobha.
It's same as the English word love.
Lobha means greed.
Yes. True.
So there are many levels of greed. Greed which is very manifest, like I want to eat that fruit right now. And another kind of greed which is very, very subtle, which you cannot know.
Like you might just be sitting here, enjoying being here. That's a type of lobha.
That is also lobha.
As opposed to very strong
hunger for knowledge. That is also lobha.
Well,
hunger for knowledge.
Sometimes that's
it depends. If it's panya,
yeah,
it must know the value of understanding. But when there is no panya, it is attachment. Just want to have for oneself.
Because in the case of like Sariputta, he had a lot of desire, kusala desire, to understand Dhamma. We say kusala chanda.
So, there are two.
Two different types. Akusala chanda and kusala chanda.
And chanda is not lobha.
No, not.
Because chanda can arise with kusala and akusala.
True.
Different from lobha.
Lobha can only arise with akusala. Lobha, which is attachment, lobha, can only arise with akusala. And chanda, which means
zeal,
or interest, can arise either with kusala or with akusala.
Can we say that chanda is like interest?
Interested
in the teaching.
Yes.
It's not lobha. Just understand the value of panya with our reading and...
Ma'am, she is saying lobha is something which in what she understood, that it should be mine only.
Lobha is akusala because it's attached to the object with avicca, not understanding the truth of reality.
There are so many different levels, because like I heard you say then, like, it belongs to me only. I think of Macharya, which literally means Macharyam. Oh, let this wonderful... Acharya in Pali, Acharya, is, oh, let this wonderful thing be mine.
Yeah, that is also one of the forms of the Lobha.